You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The time of our Lord's return is a topic of wide and varied interpretation, which has been hotly debated for centuries. However, I believe it is now time that the debating should be brought to a conclusion. We have the God-promised, perfect, more sure word written, God's full revelation in black and white written, inspired by the Holy Spirit, preserved by the Holy Spirit, and purified seven times by the Holy Spirit. And we're supposed to have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Messiah, the Spirit of truth and holiness in us. Now, if we have that God-promised, perfect, more sure Word of God and that perfect Spirit of truth in us, there is no excuse for the divisions and the debates surrounding the issues, the important issues regarding the return of the Lord. And I think this sort of debating should be brought to a conclusion. It's a sad sign of the times in many respects, given what our eyes have seen over these last 50 years. The faithful remnant should be brought by the more sure Word of God and His Holy Spirit of truth to a known and commonly accepted understanding. And we've all heard the date setters. I could give you lots of names of date setters. Give one inaccurate prediction after another. Many of them even proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, I don't have a big problem with that, okay? That's something we should pay attention to. And once someone makes a prediction, "Thus saith the Lord," that doesn't come to pass, we should be very guarded in whatever we might listen to or read what they say subsequent to that. But that's not the acid test of a false prophet, by the way, because by that means of testing for a true or false prophet, you'd have to say that Jonah was a false prophet, which of course he wasn't. What was Jonah's message? In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And it was, "Thus saith the Lord." Was Nineveh destroyed? No. Was Jonah a false prophet? No. Same with Isaiah, when he was sent by the Lord in to see his friend, the good King Hezekiah, and tell Hezekiah, "Thus saith the Lord, put your house in order. This sickness you've got is unto death. You're going to die. Thus saith the Lord." Did Hezekiah die of that sickness? No. Certainly, Isaiah is not a false prophet. So, that's not the acid test. The acid test is when they would have you go after another god, like the false prophet William Taze Russell, like the false prophet Muhammad, like the false prophet Judge Rutherford, like the false prophet Joseph Smith. And there are many such false prophets operating more or less covertly within the Messianic movement today, who would lead people to believe in a Jesus who might be Messiah, but who is not Yahweh, God Almighty, the I Am, the Creator of heaven and earth. If you know a Jesus who is not the Jesus that taught the Torah to Moses, if you know a Yeshua who is not the Yeshua who taught the Torah to Moses, you're going to go to hell. And if you want to go back to observing the things in the Levitical priesthood, you're doing despite to the Spirit of grace. You're despising the blood of God. You're despising the propitiation. You're despising that which Abraham prophesied, that God would provide Himself a lamb. You've got to know the real Yeshua, who is the Creator as well as the Redeemer. Now, we should know it is God who is the date setter. Yes, God is a date setter. And He has set the dates from the beginning. And He sealed them until the time of the end. And we should know that He wants His people to know the times. Why else would He give so much by his prophets in the Holy Bible to speak of the second coming and or the day of the Lord. Almost a fourth of the entire Holy Bible is about this day of the Lord. And Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing but he reveal his secret unto his servants the prophets. The generation which will witness the day of the Lord is a very special generation. It's a generation that will be privileged to literally live the book of Revelation. It's a generation that, while experiencing great trials and great tribulation, will have great joy in realizing that it has the greatest opportunity to give glory to God and bring souls into his kingdom of any generation ever. And when the Lord wrapped up his summary in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21 of what this privileged generation will witness, these things that this generation will see with their own eyes, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24:34, verily, truly, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. All these things be fulfilled. May I tell you that if you are now hearing what I'm saying, that you are part of that privileged generation. And yes, we are supposed to know when. God wants his people to know when. The Christian community has taken themselves completely out of a good understanding of the things which God has given to his people of this generation in order that they may know. And the way that they have been taken out of this understanding is with that phrase, no man knoweth the day or the hour of the Lord's return. Not even the angels in heaven. However, what the Lord really says in Matthew 24:35 and 36 is that heaven and earth will pass away. But of that day when heaven and earth will pass away, of that day and hour when heaven and earth will pass away, of that day when heaven and earth will pass away, of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the angels. You see, the first 33 verses of Matthew 24 get wrapped up giving the people of this special privileged generation the way to know, not think they know, like previous generations, but to actually and absolutely know and understand when one is in that privileged generation to witness the end of the age and the second coming of the Lord to rule as King of Kings for 1,000 years. Now, where is he going to rule for those 1,000 years? He's not going to rule on a new earth with a new heaven and a new earth. No, no. He's coming back to this earth that he created, and when he created it in 6 days, he looked upon all that he had made and said it was very good. Now, this earth has been cursed, and this earth has suffered under the cumulative effects of 6,000 years of sin and the cumulative effects of this curse. But when he comes back, every eye will see him, and with the brightness of his coming, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, but he's still coming back to this earth, not some new earth. Now, there is going to be a new earth, but it's not going to be until after the seventh millennium. The new earth does not come until after the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth that he created and said it was very good, and he's going to make it back to that state again. The elements will melt with fervent heat. The seas will be no more. They'll flash into steam and form the firmament again, sealing in a perfect climate everywhere on this planet with lush vegetation, with no thorns, no thing that defiles on this planet. It's going to be back in the state that it was before sin and the curse. but it's still going to be this earth. He's coming back to the place where he took off from the Mount of Olives. He's coming back to the Mount of Olives, and we're going to come back and land right there with him. And we're going to spend the seventh millennium on this planet Earth, not some new Earth, a restored Earth, a cleansed and koshered Earth, but it's going to be the same Earth. It's not going to be a new Earth. And this is a vital revelation, which I believe has been sealed up until this time, that that day spoken of in Matthew 24:36, that day spoken of in Matthew 24:36 is not the day of the Lord. It's not the day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That day spoken of in Matthew 24:36, read it. Ask the Holy Spirit of truth. That day spoken of in Matthew 24:36 is the day that heaven and earth pass away, that the new heaven and the new earth, like we read about in Revelation 21 and 22, it's at least 1,000 years out, at least. And no man knows of that day and hour when this earth is going to pass away and a new heaven and a new earth be made. Everyone up until this time of the end has been taught to believe that day referred to in Matthew 24:36 is the return of the Lord, the day of the Lord. And it's not. Look at it. It's not. That day referred to in Matthew 24:36 is the day when the Lord makes a new heaven and a new earth. The first 33 verses of Matthew 24 get wrapped up, giving the way for the people of this special privileged generation to know and understand that we are in that privileged generation to witness the end of the age and the second coming of the Lord to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 1,000 years. And then that day, in verse 36, which is another day after the 1,000-year reign of King Jesus on this earth from that big church of the firstborn on Mount Zion that anybody can read about in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48. That day is another day after the 1,000-year reign that is spoken of in verse 36. And that day when heaven and earth will pass away is not the day of the second coming. And that day, after the millennial reign of Yeshua from Zion, is the day which is spoken of in verse 36. That day is the day of which no man knows the day or the hour. That day when heaven and earth will pass away. That day when, after the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, that day is that day when God will make a new heaven and a new earth. And that day is after the millennial reign of King Jesus. Be not deceived. That day is after his 1,000-year reign. And yes, though we're not supposed to know the day when the new heaven and the new earth is to be, we are supposed to know when his second coming will be. I'm going to say that again because this is vitally important to you. And it is true that we're not supposed to know the day when the new heaven and the new earth is going to be brought in. But we are supposed to know the day of his second coming, that it will be immediately after the tribulation of these days that we're living in right now. There are hundreds and even thousands of verses concerning the Lord's return. And the Lord will clearly admonish you and me, who are part of this privileged generation, if we would have ears to hear. Yes, the Lord admonishes you and me when he says in Luke 12:56, "You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time?" Let's don't be hypocrites. Let's discern this time. God wants his people to know That one verse should prove that we should know and are supposed to know the times that God has given to his people to know by the more sure words of the scriptures and his Holy Spirit of truth. We are supposed to know. Now, upon the world, the day of the Lord will come upon the world and upon the wicked like a thief in the night. The scriptures that his people are supposed to understand will remain a mystery to the world. However, his people are supposed to be enabled to know. However, the wicked are not to know or understand the times. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We also know that there are no idle words in the Word of God. There are no extra or unnecessary or not needed or superfluous words in the Word of God. Every word is important. There are no idle words in the God-promised, perfect, and only Holy Bible. The Authorized Version, the KJV Holy Bible, which I like to call the King Jesus Version. If the Lord did not mean for us to understand or know the time of his coming, then why do we have all the scriptures and the many verses and all the words pertaining to the time of his return? Such words would become idle words if we weren't supposed to know. And there is no such thing as an unnecessary or superfluous word in the Word of God. And there's no such thing as an idle word which does not pertain to our privileged generation, which will witness the ends of this world under the curse and under 6,000 years of sin and influence of the God of this world, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, who stole dominion of this planet, who stole the lease on this planet from Adam. All the words of this Bible have special significance to our privileged generation. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things, see that? All these things happen unto them for ensamples, for they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The following are just a few of the verses that tell us that God will teach us all things by our trustworthy teacher, his Holy Spirit of truth. He will show us things that are to come, which includes the return of our Lord. And that is, in fact, the purpose for which God gave Yeshua to give to our privileged generation through the Apostle John, the book of the Revelation, which we are privileged to live. That's why God gave that book. We're privileged to live that book in his power and for his glory. Read the first verse of the Revelation. See what it is. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. That's us. We get to live it. Everybody's been blessed by reading it and keeping the things that are written in the book, but we get the special privilege to live it. He will show his servants things that must shortly be done, must shortly come to pass. Now, in Daniel, we're given a very definite sequence of the times that can and should now be understood. Just being able to understand these things that have been a mystery for centuries, to actually see these things, which the Lord said the last generation would be privileged to see, tells us that the time is short when all these things will be finished. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. But the Comforter, Jesus said in John 14:26, and this promise of John 14:26 is only for those who know the KJV Holy Bible is the God-promised, perfect, and only Holy Bible. It's only for those who know that truth and who have read that KJV Holy Bible the way God said, every word, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, every word in order, knowing the context, straight through from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. It's only for them. Now, this is an important promise. And if you haven't done your homework to receive this promise, you better get busy. That's your highest priority. But look what you receive if you do that. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. How are you going to have something brought to your remembrance that you didn't put in there in the right order in the first place? See, there's a little condition here. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. 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 Bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. But ye, brethren, are supposed to know. This day is going to come upon the world like a thief in the night. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light, the children of the day. You are not of the night, nor of the darkness. The Lord told us to study Daniel for the knowledge of the one and only specific sign that will happen on a given specific day in history. To give his saints to know that we are that privileged generation to witness the day of the Lord's second coming, which is a day very much different, separated by over 1,000 years from that day spoken of in Matthew 24:36. But you find that one and only specific sign in Matthew 24:15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And we now see these things, and therefore we are directed by the Lord to read and understand that given to Daniel and sealed until now. And by the way, there's no mention, not one single verse. There is not a verse in the Bible that talks about the third coming of the Lord. Or there is not a single verse in the Bible that talks of a secret pre-tribulation rapture. No, not one single verse, not even a single verse of the entire Holy Bible in context, rightly divided by the Holy Ghost. Not one. Now, if we read Daniel, we know that the Lord gave Daniel certain things to understand. And that even though Daniel was so greatly beloved, he sought the Lord for understanding. That Daniel was told that certain things must be sealed until the time of the end. And the purpose of that sealing until the end was so that his people of that privileged generation to witness the end of the age would know the time. God wants his people to know. And when the seals would come off of the book of Daniel, especially Daniel chapter 8, when the seals would come off of Daniel chapter 8, his people would know the time to be now at hand. Now, just consider these verses from Daniel chapter 8, and you should real easily see how this was sealed until the time of the end. And you ought to be able to see how it should now be understood how that the seals have been opened. Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and I fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. Guess what? That can't be Alexander the Great. The whole earth wasn't even known in the time of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great didn't have airplanes, did he? You need airplanes if you're going to come across the face of the whole earth and not touch the ground. And the goat had a notable horn. What's that notable horn? It's the perception of being the world's only superpower. It's a tool of the Antichrist for prospering craft, witchcraft. Witchcraft, it's witchcraft. It's a tool of the Antichrist for prospering craft and setting up the global Antichrist peace program of sudden destruction. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close to the ram, and he was moved with choler against him and smote the ram and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. And therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, Iraq and Iran. And the he-goat from the west that came across the face of the whole earth and didn't touch the ground has already stamped that horn of Iraq. And everybody knows the stomping of the second horn of Iran is at hand. The ram which had two horns, Media and Persia, Iraq and Iran. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. Iran, the second horn, is higher than the other. And the higher came up last. How could anybody miss it? And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, I think if we haven't arrived there, we're pretty close, aren't we? With the hate crime bills, saying you're going to be put in jail if you dare read the Bible, if you're going to dare say publicly what God said, you're going to be put in jail. When they have forced euthanasia, forced abortion. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, I think we've arrived. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences. And no, that's not Obama. That's the Antichrist Prince. By the way, his personal attorney drew up the whole peace and safety and sanity known as Oslo, the roadmap, the Saudi plan. 7-year peace and safety agreement. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, the king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice practice his occult arts, his satanic pretended signs and wonders. He shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. He shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy he shall cause craft, witchcraft, the craft of Freemasonry, Luciferian religion, that's the craft. He shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. And by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the capital P Prince of Princes, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will stand. He will be the Antichrist Prince standing against the King of Kings, the Prince of Princes. But he shall be broken without hand. Hallelujah. God's going to take him down. And the vision of the evening and the morning was told is true. Watch for the morning and evening oblation altar to be set up. And the vision of the evening and morning which was told is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision. This vision had to be shut up until the time of the end. It's not shut up anymore. And the vision of the evening and morning was told is true. And wherefore, shut thou up the vision. For it shall be for many days. When opened, after many days, the saints are to know that we are that privileged generation to witness the great tribulation and the second coming of the Lord immediately after the tribulation of those days, not before. God said so. Thus saith the Lord, immediately after the tribulation, thus saith the Lord. Immediately after the tribulation is when the Lord comes to send his angels for his elect. Immediately after the tribulation, thus saith the Lord. Now, the abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist, either in person or by his false prophet Pope, stops that morning and evening oblation altar on Temple Mount. That's where we go. That's where the Lord Jesus sent us for understanding this abomination of desolation. Daniel 9:27. Let's look at it real quick. Daniel 9:27. If you want to see the abomination of desolation, there's no verse in the scripture, certainly no verse in Daniel, no single verse that talks about it like this verse. Daniel 9:27. And he, who's he? Some people say it's the Lord, some people say it's the Antichrist. I think we ought to know who he is. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That word there is Shaboah, that's a 7-year period. And he shall confirm the covenant with many, and by the way, the Hebrew word for many in that verse right there is Rabin. And Rabin was the one that signed the 7-year peace and safety agreement for Israel. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Who drew that crazy insanity of the 7-year peace and safety agreement up in the first place? That's the he. Lord Victor Mishkan, the personal attorney of Prince Charles of Wales. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, a 7-year period. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And it happened. Very few saw it, but it did happen. Exactly 3.5 years after that 7-year peace and safety agreement was signed on Rosh Hashanah in 1993, exactly 3.5 years later to the day, that thing ceased and it stopped. And it's been on hold ever since. But the final 42 months, it's upon us. We may be in the middle of it, and since it's like travail, we wouldn't know until we get a little bit down the road. But there is something that we can and should know, and God wants us to know. Let me go through the whole verse for you. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 7-year peace and safety agreement. Oslo. Saudi plan, whatever. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, plural, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I believe the abomination of desolation occurs at the consummation. At day 1260, that altar will be stopped either by the Antichrist prince or his false prophet pope. The image will be set up on Temple Mount. People will be given 30 days till day 1290 to either receive that 666 biochip mark of the beast in their right hand or forehead, or they'll be mowed down on sight after day 1290. Blessed and holy is he that endureth to the 1335th day. When that altar is stopped, we got 75 days and the Lord will be here. And God wants you to know. The abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist, in person or by his false prophet, stops that morning and evening oblation altar on Temple Mount and sets up that 666 image of his fourth beast government on Temple Mount in the old city of Jerusalem. And that is the only specific sign, the only sign that is specific, the only sign that Jesus gives in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, the only specific sign that you can put your finger on and say, this is going to happen on a given single specific day in history. It is the only specific sign of all the great tribulation events given by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. That will happen on a given specific day in history. And all the rest are general signs and not specific. And some of them have been going on for well over 50 years now. Now, the Lord made a special point to tell us to read and study Daniel so that we would know and understand that abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And it relates to the holy place. That place where God Almighty has chosen to place his name, the holy place, the Temple Mount. That Temple Mount in Jerusalem is the holy place, the whole Temple Mount. And that is the sign of his second coming and of the end of the age, and when we should be able to know of a certainty the day when the Lord will return. I'm going to go through it one more time. Here are the specific verses most specifically related to the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Daniel 22 through 27. Those are the verses in context that are most specifically related to the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand. Understand the matter, and consider the vision. 70 weeks. That's a Hebrew word, shabuah, or 7-year period. There are 77-year periods that are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand. Know, therefore, and understand. Understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. Sir Isaac Newton, When he was 30 years old, he realized science could not possibly be advanced any further than he advanced it in his lifetime. He was such a genius that he had enough genius to know that he could not possibly advance science beyond what he had advanced it in his lifetime by age 30. He knew that. And he spent the rest of his life studying Daniel, arguably the smartest genius that ever lived. And the results of that study, over a 50-year study by the most brilliant man, perhaps most intelligent man that ever lived, the results of that study were lost. They were hidden. They didn't get found until 1992. And that's all. I think he had figured it out. And I think God kept it hidden until the right time. But his lifetime study of Daniel concluded that this verse 25 here referred to both the first and the second coming of Messiah. And I think he was right. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he, I think, is the Antichrist prince. I just don't see how people seeing that he being other than the Antichrist prince. And he shall confirm the covenant with many. And again, in Hebrew, that many there is Rabin, the very name of the man that signed it for Israel. For 1 week, again, Shavuot, a seven-year period. There's never been a peace treaty in history that had a time limit on it. When they sign a peace treaty, they want it to go on forever. Why else would they sign a peace treaty? But this peace treaty not only had a time limit, but it was a seven-year peace and safety agreement. And that peace process continued, marched right along, until exactly at the midpoint. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now, without an altar, the oblation was done by prayer. And until this time, right in the middle, there were two Jews every morning and every evening going up and making an oblation of praise. That's all they could do. It's like David used to go to the Temple Mount before there was a temple with the priests and make the morning and evening oblation. You can see this clearly where David spoke in Psalm 40, verse 6, of how he would go to the Temple Mount morning and evening before his son would start construction on the temple. David said in Psalm 40, verse 6, and Paul reiterated it in Hebrews 10, 5 through 8. But David said in Psalm 40, verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. David said that. That was part of the morning and evening oblation. And until the midpoint in this seven-year peace and safety agreement, two Jews at a time would go up and do that same thing that David did before there was a temple or an altar set up for the building of the temple. And of course, Paul reiterated this same thing in Hebrews 10, verse 5 through 8. He's saying again what David said. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God, above. When he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. You see, that's all that one can do, is offer the morning and evening sacrifice of prayer and praise on the Temple Mount before there is an altar set up for the oblation altar offering. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, plural, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I believe the abomination of desolation is at the consummation, near or at the end of that 1260-day period to mark the 30-day deadline of 1290 days, wherein everyone is to be 666 marked, have your chip implant, or be killed by the 666 fourth beast Antichrist world government. You know, when that altar goes up, the world's going to go in an uproar. And sadly, most Christians are going to cheer and follow the Antichrist instead of following the example of the Holy Spirit-filled apostles in the book of Acts. They risk their life twice a day to show respect to God's oblation altar. And when they're going to build a temple, the first thing they do is take measurements. They set the cornerstone, take measurements, determine where the altar goes. The altar must be set up and operational. There'll be no blood of bulls and goats on it. But the morning and evening oblation has to be put on that altar every day before the first stone can be put in the foundation of the temple. When that altar goes up, and that altar affirms one and only one thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the owner of the fullness of the earth because he created it and he redeemed it. It has nothing to do with blood. It has nothing to do with sin. It has nothing to do with the finished work of Messiah. But it has everything to do with affirming the Lord's ownership of the fullness of the earth. And the Antichrist is going to put a stop to it. And sadly, many Christians are going to cheer the Antichrist when he does that. And I think it's going to be God's final separation of the sheep and the goats. If you haven't studied the oblation, it's a short article on the website. Study that article. You can find an audio file on the oblation on the website, www.moreshoreword.com. If you don't understand the oblation, you need to get in a hurry about getting that understanding. We assume that Moses and Elijah, the two prophets, who are not going to be Moses and Elijah, but they're going to have the anointing, the special anointing that God put upon those men that no other men ever had that particular special anointing. There'll be two things that Moses did that nobody else ever did. Moses was enabled by God to turn water into blood and to call forth water out of the rock. No one else ever did those particular miracles. And Elijah was anointed by God to call down fire from heaven. And he could withhold or bring forth rain at his command. Now, we've already seen the 3.5-year withholding of the rain. But those two anointings were peculiar to Moses. Turn water to blood and speak and have water brought forth out of rock. And Elijah to call down fire from heaven or withhold rain or bring it forth at his command. We assume they minister for 1260 days, but that's an assumption. The scriptures don't say that. They'll be there when that altar's up, but that altar, I cannot imagine the world and the Antichrist prince and his false prophet pope allowing that altar to operate for 1260 days. But see, when it stopped, we know from the Word of God that it will be the Antichrist prince, either in person or by way of his false prophet pope, that stops it. And that marks day 1260. And then we've got day 1290. He'll give 30 days. You either get your mark within these 30 days or you will be killed by this 666 fourth beast Antichrist world government. You got 30 days. Blessed and holy is he that endureth to the 1335th days, 45 days after the 1290. That's when the Lord will be here. That's why I say the 75 days. I believe God wants his people to know the final 75 days. And he wants us to be watching and praying. Keep your eyes on Jerusalem. Watch when that altar is set up. Know when it's stopped. God wants his people to know these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
To the table set here before you, drink from the fount of the water of life. This room at the table will feast with his children. Come and partake of this glorious life. This joy in the journey, this way everlasting, peace can be found in the circle of light.
Start new. easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You've got to let it go, you've got to let it go. You can't keep on holding on to the sins that weighed us down. When we must be pressing on, oh, we must run this race with all our might. Take up our cross, deny our lives to win the prize of eternal life. We must press and strive to do what's right by His grace. So we must run. Let us look unto Yeshua, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. You've got to let it go, you've got to let it go. You can't keep on holding on to the sins that weighed us down. When we must keep pressing on, for we must love Yahweh with all our heart and all our soul and all our might to be accepted in His sight. We must offer up our lives a sacrifice. So let us run.
Listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.